You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to The Dugout. My name is Drew. Alongside me is Ben. And we're back. Got a few things to talk about, some exciting things going on in the AL East, as well as another Guess the Player by Hair segment that we're going to be doing again. Here is number one.
Oh, baby. All right, so...
Wow, no guess right off the rip, huh?
Off the rip, my guess is a first baseman.
It's not Freddie Freeman.
Okay. Oh, man, I feel like I've seen this 1,000 times.
AL East.
AL East. So, all right. It's not Judge. It's not Rizzo. It's not Stanton.
It's not a Yankee. It's not a Yankee. It's not an Oriole, either. He's a pitcher.
That's not... Is that Chris Sale?
It's not Chris Sale. Want me to tell you who it is?
Just tell me what team it is first.
It's the Blue Jays.
Oh, is it? No, Gosman has long hair. Manoa's hair is not that long.
It is Alec Manoa.
That is Manoa. I didn't think his hair
looking,
was that long.
Looking off into the distance for a Big Mac.
All
right. Right there in that picture.
Okay.
Yep. All right. 0-for-1. I love it. Here is number two.
That one is... That's Freddie Freeman.
That is Freddie Freeman.
There we go.
I knew those two look exactly the same for some reason. Number three... I feel like you're going to instantly get this one. Hopefully you don't, though.
Okay.
We'll make it fun. Who is that?
What in the... I got to focus on my phone. I got to zoom in on more on that. Let's see.
Any guesses so far?
I feel like that could be the long hair era Bryce Harper, like the Shaggy.
This is a first baseman. It is not Bryce Harper.
A first baseman. Is that Tristan Casas? No, it's not.
Wow.
It is?
You got it. Wow. That's your boy. Boy,
all right.
Tristan Casas.
Okay.
Will not be getting Rookie of the Year.
I don't think anyone in AL deserves it right now.
And let's move on to number four. This one might be tricky.
That one is a bit tricky.
Yeah.
This guy seems a bit older.
He's an outfielder. Won't really say if he's older or not. He's on a new team this year.
Okay.
Outfielder. Looking really good so far.
A new team this year.
Yeah. Huh. Looking really good on his new team,
Is it Kevin Kiermaier?
It is not Kevin Kiermaier.
Fuck.
I'll give you one more guess.
Okay. New team.
Yeah, it was a he was an MVP a few years ago. And had some down years, actually.
It's Bellinger.
Cody Bellinger.
Yep.
You are, what are you right now? You got Casas, you got Freddie.
Casas and Bellinger, if you count that one.
Yeah, we'll kind of, I'll give it to you. Okay, the last one. I hope you don't get this one too quickly. Any guesses off the rip?
Off the rip?
Off the rip.
Is this picture from this year? Do you know?
It's not.
It is not.
It's from last year. Why? Who are you thinking? You think someone had a different haircut?
There's a guy I was thinking with longer hair now.
Who?
Cedric Mullins.
It's not Cedric Mullins. He is an outfielder, though.
Does he still have the same hair as this picture? Like relatively the same?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm pretty sure he does.
Another outfielder.
He's on a team that you said will be should be pretty exciting. To watch. I think you said that. I'm pretty sure.
Is this player hurt often?
No. Very exciting to watch. Probably going to be like the face of the team he's on right now. Was a rookie. I'll say he was recently a rookie. Won't really say the year.
Okay. What team did I say would be exciting to watch? Oh. He was a rookie last year.
Who is it?
Was he a rookie last year?
Who is it?
Was he a rookie last year?
He was.
That's the J-Rod Show.
The J-Rod Show. Yes, sir.
Bang.
So you were 4-for-1.
Yep, 4-for-1. That makes sense.
Yeah. 3-for-4. Moving on. Ben, what do we got?
We're gonna talk a little Fernando Tatis Jr. He has returned to the Padres after his suspension. obviously, he was able to play in AAA, which I didn't think was allowed. First of all, I didn't think you could have any affiliation to Major League Baseball if you were suspended. I guess you can play in the minors. I don't really. It's been a while since we've seen a PED suspension, so I guess. Or at least a notable PED suspension where a player would draw attention to playing in the minors. So I guess, I don't know, maybe, I don't know if it's a new thing. I have no idea.
Who's the last PED suspension, Cano?
Probably. And I guess he played in the minors too. I do remember that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's I'm not a big Tatis fan as it is. Let's see who the last PD suspension was.
Pretty sure it was Cano.
So
but yeah, you've never been too high on Tatis in the first place.
So in 2022, we had Tatis, Carlos Martinez, JC Mejia, and Pedro Severino. 2021, we had Laureano.
Mm-hmm.
Cano was 2020. Emmanuel Clase was suspended for PEDs. Wow, I had no
really?
Idea.
Really? What year was that?
2020. Interesting.
Yeah.
Cano got busted twice. Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. The issue I have with Tatis is just the immaturity level, I think. Which, you know, this may have changed and this whole situation may have woken his eyes up to it, but he's going around in the offseason doing stupid stuff, getting hurt.
Yeah.
Continuing to do stupid stuff. It's just the Padres were fed up with it. His teammates were fed up with it. Like, you have to understand that you're a franchise player. You're getting paid a lot of money to do that. And it's just not that hard to, like, put ATVing aside and not breaking your wrist. Like, it's just, I don't know. I think he's one of the greatest talents that this game could probably ever see.
Yeah.
But the injuries he's had so far in his career are injuries, I think, that are going to hinder him the rest of his career, especially for such an explosive player. The back injury, I mean, that back injuries never, those always linger, hang around. Like, I feel like that's always going to have some effect on him, especially as he gets older. He's hurt his shoulder and he's hurt his wrist. Like, you know, he's hurting parts of his body that are very important to baseball players and you know, have impactful effects down the line, especially because I think he dislocated his shoulder one time. Like, those never really healed exactly the same. I can't put my money on Tatis being a Padres franchise player for his entire career because just based off his injury history, I feel like he's kind of reckless, and I don't see it. I really don't. I think he's going to be similar to a DeGrom type player where it's like, yeah. You're going to get a few seasons of absolutely ridiculous production. But it's just being able to stay healthy long enough and being able to, you know, stay on the field for your team. And I don't see it 100%. And I think the Padres are already have had their issues with it. And I think if, you know, something happens again, I think they've already looked on moving on. I think they would seriously consider that, after another incident as well.
Yeah, I like the DeGrom comparison. That's pretty spot on. If we do see that with Tatis, wasn't there talking about his injuries? He had an issue with like a bike or something. Didn't he fall off a bike?
Yeah, I think that was the most recent one with the wrist. And then what I have collected from this is that he hurt it doing that. Whatever, over with.
Was that after the suspension though?
No, this was before. This is why he got suspended, because he wasn't healing as fast as I think he thought he was going to be, because he was supposed to come back in like April, June last year, and it just really wasn't coming along. and his return date kept getting pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. So I think it was very clear on why he took the steroid that he did, which was a regenerative steroid to, you know, obviously help him return faster. And he got busted for it. And then he made it worse and lied, saying it was a haircut. Like, come on. Yeah. It just... everyone could see, everyone with two eyes can see what he was doing and what he was trying to do. It was a very poor excuse. He could have said nothing. He could have just said, I'm sorry. You didn't have to say anything about it. But it's what they did. So.
Yeah. definitely seems like he's reckless, but I mean, this had to have opened his eyes a little bit.
I hope so.
Not just like the media and the fans responding to it, but I mean the Padres themselves in the off season. I mean, they went after Judge too, but they were going after Bogarts and Trey Turner.
Yeah.
So I mean, he can obviously see that going around on media and whatnot. And I mean, I'm not saying that's directly why they were going after them. Obviously not. They're two great players, but I mean, definitely puts it into his head. You know, probably like, am I going to be here long term still? Or like, I don't know. So, I mean, I feel like he'll have a decent season though. Definitely can't be reckless though with the injuries. I mean, that's the main priority right there.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's my other issue with him too, is he doesn't really have a position. As good as his bat is, he's going to be in the lineup, but like, he's a liability in the field. They obviously moved him off of shortstop because he led the league in errors one year. He's just never really been great at shortstop. Again, even the way he plays sometimes is very reckless. It's just, you know, he tries to do some superhuman things, which admittedly he has the ability to do, but it feels very reckless at points and you know, trying to make a play and just don't feel like he thinks as much as you should. It happened the other night. Mike, I don't know if you can clip it, but he got a ball in the outfield, and instead of throwing to the cut, he threw directly to the plate, which allowed Josh Rojas to advance from second to third. And then the next pitch or the next batter, they hit a sac fly to tie the game or take the lead. And it's just those little things. And I get he's new at the outfield and I understand that. But like that's basic baseball. Like, you have to understand that you have to hit your cut, especially when you don't have a play at the base, because he didn't really have a play at the base. So you have to know to pull back, hit the cut. Don't allow the small things. Don't allow a runner to advance, especially to third base. It's just the little things like that, I think, rub me the wrong way about him. Like, there's other things that rub people the wrong way about him with the whole bat flipping thing. Like, that's great. I love that. It's great for baseball. Yeah. It's incredible.
100%.
As a player and just doing things on the baseball field and, you know, trying to make crazy Jeter jump throws and throwing them away and not hitting cuts, like, That's the stuff that bothers me about him. He just feels very immature still. And hopefully he comes around, because he's a great player. He's good for baseball. You know, PEDs aside, he's an exciting player to watch. So hopefully that's something he can kind of grow out of and start to open his eyes towards.
Yeah, you mentioned the immaturity level. I mean, he's still a kid. So, I mean, that's there. Plus, he was just on the show, he was on the cover of the show. Well, that was really like right after his breakout year. So like, all these things are happening at once. He's getting famous and whatnot. I mean, that just could be all added to your head, adding to him being more immature and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that. But like, at the same time, like, we've seen it with every other, you know, especially like show type cover player too. It's like, Jazz doesn't do that stuff. You know, true. We didn't see Judge do that stuff. Bryce Harper didn't do that. Like, it's just different. Like, and I guess different people handle, you know, a massive gain in fame differently. But I think as you kind of look at it, it's, you know, it happens in the NFL a lot. You know, guys can't really figure it out. Feels like it doesn't happen so much in baseball. But I don't know. It certainly feels like he's on that path, which, you know, hopefully he can break out of. But like, I think one of the things that comes to mind all the time is like the Machado clip yelling at him saying, it's not about you. Like, I think that, like,
that's
just the small, like, you got to like
start to grow up. And I get that was a couple years ago, but it still feels like, you know, some of those, like, you know, throwing all the way home instead of hitting the cut feels very, you know, like not about the team type thing from Tatis. So it's just something I hope that he can kind of figure out and change.
I mean, the outfield IQ might just not even be there yet. I mean, he played the outfield before he got injured. I'm pretty sure he played a little bit in the outfield, right?
Yeah. I mean, he played it last two years ago, whatever it was. But even like, I get that. But at the same time, it's like he played shortstop. Shortstop's the cutoff man for most plays.
Right. Yeah. And it's simple.
It's just things knowledge. You like have to understand. And I think he obviously does know that. And especially, I mean, I think when you watch that play happen, like during the game, you know, it's not really a huge deal, and it's something you look back more at later on. And you know, that's what I saw on Twitter. But it's like, yeah, it's just the very little things that matter in terms of that can add up in terms of a 162 game season and add up even just in a nine inning game that you don't really bat an eye at the beginning, because it wasn't like an atrocious thing to do. It's just the small things and using your head and not trying to be Superman all the time, which I think he tries to do. I think that I don't want to take his passion and electricity out of his game. Like, you never want to do that with a player. Yeah. But it's more so like understanding your role and understanding that you don't have, especially on the Padres, you don't have to be Superman on the Padres with that roster. And then two, it's just doing things right. Like, you have to do things the right way. You have to be a smart player. And I think that he lets his emotions for the game control his actions more than, you know, just playing smart baseball.
Yeah, I really don't think he's like an outfielder, to be honest. I'll just say it. Like, he's so athletic. I think you got to put that athletic ability into the infield. But then again, like, Padres obviously had no plans to put him in the infield, extending Cronenworth, went out and got Bogarts. So, I mean, I don't know. They know what's going on. I don't know. It's a mess, honestly.
The Padres aren't looking great either. We talked about it last episode, yeah. But that team is struggling definitely right now.
Well, we'll see if they can pick it back up offensively. Yeah, just not the start that we were looking for. And I've said this previously, that team on paper is just too good to look at and not be good. So, I mean,
yeah.
We'll see what happens. All right. The Oakland Athletics are making the move to Vegas. It is it's happening. It was talked about previously a little while ago, but it's happening. They are keeping the name the Athletics. That is confirmed by the Athletics president. What's his name? Dave Cavill, I think. But yeah. What are your thoughts on this, Ben? Is it a good move? I mean, does it make sense? Initial thoughts.
I feel bad for the city of Oakland. They have lost. They lost the Raiders. They just lost the A's. And they lost the A's to really no fault of their own. It's not like, you know, I saw the clips this week, you know, from when they're in the playoffs. Like, that stadium gets packed when the A's are in the playoffs. And when they had a good team, like, people consistently showed up. People always watched them play. We aren't far removed from, they used to have Simeon, they used to have Chapman, Donaldson. They had a plethora of great players. Yeah, they had some incredible players. It's not like they're in the Moneyball era. I'm not really sure what, you know, their goal was. The returns they got on some of these trades were horrendous. they have one of the worst, if not the worst, farm in baseball, as well as probably definitely the worst team in baseball. I found it here. The A's have the worst run differential at -100 through 21 games in MLB history. The next closest was the 1988 Baltimore Orioles at -85. They also have the worst ERA in MLB history through 21 games. Their total team ERA at the current moment is 8.08, which is
God.
Oh, I mean, that is awful. It's not even close. Yeah. They're 4-17 so far to start the season. They have six losses by 10 or more runs. From 2019 to 2022, they lost six games total by 10 or more runs. Their run differential, obviously, as I just mentioned, is minus 100. That nothing is good. Going to Vegas isn't going to fix it either. Will it maybe attract a couple free agents? Maybe, but like the big name free agents, they're not going to want to go play in Oakland unless other big name free agents are there as well. Ownership has to do something. Whether it's a change in ownership, whether I really don't know. I get especially playing at the Oakland Coliseum. Like I understand. Like it's not a great place to go as of right now. And maybe going to Vegas changed that with a new stadium and whatnot, better facilities. But I don't see any, they don't have a farm. I don't see any realm of them going to Vegas and being a successful team. It's just, I don't know. It's not a great time to be an Athletics fan, obviously. I feel bad for the city of Oakland because I think the only major sports team they have now is the Warriors. It's a shame. It's a shame because there are some great clips of Oakland A playoff games. Obviously, the Moneyball movie, you saw how, you know, everyone is into the A's. It sucks. It really sucks for them. They've had nothing to cheer about for what seems, I don't know, probably since 2015, 2016, maybe. Like, even when they had Olsen, they were awful.
Yeah.
their last playoff runs, I think, were, like, the most exciting thing. And that was cool. It was always fun to watch the Oakland A's in the playoffs, but it's not going to happen for a bit. I don't know if Vegas will be a strong enough reason to attract any big-name free agents to come over there as it stands currently. I think it's just... It's not a winning move by any means. Maybe for ownership, but it's not great. Not great by any means.
Yeah, you mentioned the returns they got for, you know, some of the recent trades they've had in the past and whatnot. But I don't know. That's got to be. And you mentioned how bad they were. Like they got nothing in return. But that I feel like that had to have been like a mutual thing with like the player themselves and the organization. Just like get me out of here.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like the A's front office knows, like, all right, we obviously know that nothing's going on. So we got to get the superstar like somewhere where he can win. I don't know. That's what's in my head about that. But, Mike, you got to stop, bro. Jesus Christ, dude. But, moving to Vegas, I think that is a solid move, actually. The way I can think of it is Manny Machado went to San Diego with basically nothing. He was literally the first bigger name in that big four that they have now. And I mean, that seemed to work out.
Yeah, but like the A's don't have the amount of money the Padres did to throw at him. I know, that's the issue.
But they're building this $1.5 billion ballpark.
Las Vegas. They got to pay off by getting fans. I don't know if like, that's what I mean.
But I don't know. I feel like if they somehow that works out, I feel like a lot of players will want to go and play 100%.
Yeah, it's definitely like a great place. Like if I was a player, like I would love to go play in Vegas. People would be there every night, whether it's A's fans or tourists. But like if it was this coming off season or the off season right before the stadium opened, like and there was still nothing there, like I'm not going to go play for a crap team and just be in Vegas to lose. Like, I'm just not going to do it. Even like in the NFL, it's not like the Raiders saw any massive, I mean, they got some free agents for sure. You know, Chandler Jones was one of them. But like the reason being Vegas, I don't think helps their case as much as, they'd like to think it would.
Yeah. Yeah. They're definitely still going to be really bad. it's going to take some time. And the farm thing, I mean, you said they don't have a farm. So, I mean,
no,
they're in a, I don't really know what they can do.
I don't either.
I mean, I feel like
a bad hole.
That's where they just thought they could move to Vegas and then,
yeah,
that'll solve everything.
That's the tough part about baseball too, is like you can draft like a madman and make every correct pick, but it doesn't matter. It's not like the NFL where that works for you the next year. And provides a boost to your team the next year. You got to wait at least 2 years for that. So it's just it's going to be a long build. It's definitely going to be a long build for them.
Yeah.
No.
moving on from whatever he just said. damn, what was I going to say? So I read some facts. I actually made a video on the whole move that they're doing. It's going to, like I said before, it's going to be costing $1.5 billion. It's going to sit 35,000 people. And it's going to have a partially retractable roof. That's really all I got from that. And it's set to open in time for the 2027 season.
I'm sure the stadium will be gorgeous, but...
Yeah, it's probably going to be one of the best.
I hope they can do something by 2027.
While we're talking about this real quick, did you see, I don't know if this was even real or not, but they want to like bring an MLB team to Utah?
I did see that. Yeah, they put in a bid to like buy land or
someone
whatever
showed it. Like a concept or picture concept of what it would look like with the like mountains.
Yeah,
in the background.
I mean, have you seen the BYU baseball stadium?
I have not.
Mike, if you make this a short, link it. It's gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure the A's field's going to be crazy, though, 100%. Said it was going to be near the Strip, the Las Vegas Strip as well. Mm-hmm. So, like, the view's probably going to be crazy. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with the A's. I'll tell you right now, they're probably not going to win anything anytime soon.
I can't see them, like, with their farm right now. And even if they draft well the next few years, barring a lot of massive free agent signings, I can't see them winning until 2030 something.
Yeah, that's their only option is these free agent signings. They have fans have nothing to look forward to. No farm system. No really stars on the team right now. They have the Japanese pitchers on there, right? Is he supposed to be good?
Yeah, but he's been really bad. Yeah. It's really so bad. Far. Like, very bad.
Yeah, so, I mean... Yeah, it's tough.
trying to see their payroll here. So, their active payroll is $36 million.
This is the highest paid on the A's.
Well, so total payroll is $60 million. I don't know how much they have to play with past that. Their highest player is Aledmys Diaz. At $6.5 million.
Dude, that is
which is 10% unreal. Of their payroll. Yeah. They are only paying 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They're paying 6 players over $1 million on their current active roster.
It's sad. Sad times.
Well, their highest paid player is Trevor May, but he is currently away from the team. So.
Trevor May.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks. There's really nothing else you can say about that.
All right, Drew. So as it sits right now, the AL East, all five teams are over 500. The Rays are 19-3. The Orioles are 14-7. Yankees are 13-9. The Blue Jays are also 13-9. And with the win last night, the Red Sox are 12-11. So all five AL East teams over 500. Pretty crazy. To look at. We knew that the AL East was one of the more stacked divisions in baseball. It has been for the past couple years. And now with the Orioles finally having their I don't want to call it a resurgence, but right. Finally, you know, hitting their stride with especially with these prospects and being second in the AL East right now over teams like the Blue Jays and the Yankees, which is crazy. This is a really good division. It's going to be a fight the entire year. the Red Sox, a lot better than I expected them to be. Their pitching is god-awful, but in terms of, you know, run scoring, I think they have one of the better offenses in baseball. The Blue Jays, this is probably about what I expected from them. Honestly, thought the Yankees would be doing a bit better. I don't know how you feel about that. The Orioles, I think, are over-exceeding. And then the Rays are on a different planet at the moment. I mean, they have a home run in all 22 games they've played this year. It's the highest run differential through however many games ever. They started off on a 13-game win streak. It's insane what that team is doing. Hopefully they can keep it up for the entire year. I don't know. It has to stop at some point. It's just, I think it's going to be a matter of when it stops, how far do they tumble?
Other than them paying Wander Franco, I'm pretty sure their payroll is pretty low itself as well.
Who's that pitcher they signed this offseason? He's the highest paid pitcher in their franchise in history ever. And it's not that
Rays?
Much. Yeah.
I don't know. Was he on a different team?
Yeah.
Or do you get?
Here, I'll find it.
Yeah, find that real quick.
It is Zach Eflin. That's who it was.
Their highest paid
pitcher ever.
He came from the Phillies.
$11 million right now.
Did he come from the Phillies?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Rays. It's just not making sense. It's got to end soon.
Hey, you would think so, right?
It will. Can't.
They'll get Boz back, maybe sometime this year. Jeffrey Springs probably off the season. They might get Glasnow back relatively soon as well. Taj Bradley looked really good so far to begin his career. but that whole pitching staff is just through and through really good. And that offense right now, you just never really think about the Rays as being like a power hitting offense, but they are right now. I mean, 22 games, the home run is insane, absolutely ridiculous. They really don't have like a quote unquote star. Like they have Wander, definitely, but they don't have a Bryce Harper. They don't have a Mike Trout. They don't have a Kyle Tucker, a Jose Altuve, Aaron Judge, and they're the best team in baseball, and it's not even close. It's just crazy what they've been able to do the last decade. And I think this might finally be the year that they wind up in the playoffs or in the World Series. I'd say obviously there was the whole Blake Snell debacle a couple of years ago. But you know, this could be the year.
We'll see. You mentioned the Yankees could do a little better. Yes, but
injuries, man.
tons of injuries. Honestly, somewhat in the same boat as the Red Sox. I mean, we have pitching wise. I mean, we're throwing out Johnny Brito. Sure,
you said
a lot of
Johnny
people
Brito was going to be the man like two pods ago.
Yo, shut up. But not a lot of people even know who he is. So I mean, Montas out. Carlos Rodon, no clue when he's back.
Yeah.
So you're really throwing your really focusing on Gerrit Cole and Nestor Cortez. And me personally, I'm not even sold on Nestor.
I'm not either. That was a crazy year.
I mean, the year is crazy. I mean, he's doing pretty well this year, but I mean, I'm not sold on him.
I think he'll be like a good pitcher for the rest of his career, but I don't think he'll ever touch what he did last year.
No.
I think he found something last year that like super worked. But I think I think hitters are going to easily adjust to that at some point down the road, especially AL East guys. I don't see it.
Last year, like every time the Yankees played the Orioles at Camden, it seems like he was about to throw a no hitter every single game I watched. But yeah. I don't know what he was on, but yeah, injuries suck. Pretty excited about Volpe so far. I mean, it's pretty exciting to watch. Two home runs, a couple stolen bases. So, I mean, he's just got to get the feel for the game. I'm sure he'll be good. And, AL East, it's crazy. It's crazy right now.
Like as of right now, anyone can make it out of the division.
Yeah.
I'm done. That's it.
Yeah, me too.
What? Mike, when's the last time you won a World Series?
Wait, can the pod hear you, Mike? Gotta like put in a blooper at the end or something. Can hear it through Ben's mic. We can hear it through Ben's mic. Yeah, we should record your voice because that's what like... No, like honestly, like the producer on what's it called?
John Boy.
Yeah, he's always like in the bottom right. He has his own like face cam. It's really tiny. Yeah, it's like really tiny.
Mike yelling at his fucking dog during the pod.
Yeah, we should 100% like sort that out, like get you on here, but not like, you know. All right, I'm going to do the outro. Alrighty, thank you guys for tuning into this episode of The Dugout. We hope you did enjoy, and if you did, please drop a like. If you're new, subscribe. It does help out the channel. Be sure to check out Clutch Points on all social media platforms, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok, wherever you watch videos, really. We're everywhere. We're on Spotify for the pod. But yeah, that's it for me. Ben, anything else you want to add on?
Oh, fuck. I had a good MVP take, but I can't remember who I said. Oh, Pete Alonso, 2023 NL MVP.
Will he break Aaron Judge's record this year?
No, probably not, because he doesn't play in Mickey Mouse Ballpark.
Yeah, and he's not as good as Aaron Judge, obviously. Alrighty, so thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you guys next time. Peace out.